Thank you, Gary. And as Gary mentioned, SSA decided that I was going to do my meeting this morning. So I've got this talk, and I apologize. I'm going to give it. I'm going to run because I'm giving another talk at 8:35 in a different session. And then I've got to run from that session to the podology meeting, since I'm the chair-elect of that. And so my entire meeting happens this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about something that David Linbow and I have been working on, along with a colleague of mine at Dickinson State, and this idea of using publishing of undergraduate research as a teaching tool. And just to kind of set the stage for this, probably no big surprise to anybody in the room here, but it certainly has been shown through numerous studies that undergraduate research is beneficial to our students. There's a whole host of things that they gain from engaging in this undergraduate research. Obviously, personal and intellectual development, that's shown to be promoted through this undergraduate research engagement. More and closer contact with faculty. I mean, we have I've worked at two different universities. At both universities, we have done undergrad research kind of in a graduate model. And when I say that, I don't mean that the undergrads are producing graduate quality and graduate level work, but our undergraduates do work one-on-one with a faculty mentor, you know, on that project. And so it's, you know, kind of like having a miniature, you know, senior professor type of relationship when you go to grad school and you work with that primary, you know, advisor on your project. So they, you know, they get a lot of time. You know, we got a couple of young ladies. We had a project when I was down in Georgia, and they are working with myself, taking the picture, and with one of our other faculty, and creating a very detailed topographic map of a borrow pit that we ran a study in a few years ago, but to get a great, a really detailed look at the landform relationships in there. But you know, they got, you got two students and two faculty out there working on something together. Active learning techniques. I'm not sure if this is exactly what the pedagogists have in mind when they say active learning techniques, but we certainly get our students going on all kinds of digging of holes and other things that, yeah, they are active. You know, high expectations. We have a lot of cases where we go in and we, you know, assign something like a paper, for example, in one of our classes. And, you know, it's not that you don't have high expectations for the paper. The student hands it in, and it gets graded, and it goes back, and if they did a really good job, they get a good grade, and they did a really crappy job, they get a poor grade. And so, you know, but with undergraduate research experience, I'm guessing that most places probably end up at the very least with some kind of a document, a senior thesis or whatever the document's called, you know, at your institution. And, you know, certainly with us, that goes back and forth a couple of times. You know, the student hands it in, the advisor goes through it, makes comments, recommendations, et cetera, goes back to student, gets revised. It's not just a hand it in and whatever I did and we're done, no kind of situation. So those expectations get increased a bit when you're doing this. Problem-solving skills. These three young men are trying to install a two-inch PVC pipe that we had mounted some instrumentation in. It was designed to go into a very precise depth. And they're now trying to figure out how the heck they're going to get it to that depth without breaking the instrumentation. They eventually did figure it out, but it took them a while. And it was up to them to figure out how to do it. So, you know, get out in the field, encounter a problem, solve problem. And, you know, all this leads to, you know, some independence. They've got this idea they're working on. They've got the problems they've got to address. They've got to, you know, come up with ways to address all of that. And, you know, I found certainly it's my personal experience, and it's supported by the literature. You know, when a student has something they really own, there's more motivation to do that. I can think back even to my own experiences. You know, I had to do an undergraduate research project to get my bachelor's degree where I went to school. And I'll tell you what, my final semester of school, I put more time, effort, and energy into that research project than probably every other class I was taking combined that semester. That was, you know, it was exciting, and I owned it, and you know, I wanted to really do well on that. So there's lots of advantages for the student. The discipline also gains from this, and in particular, our studies show us that undergraduates who engage in research are much more likely to stay in a science major. They're more likely to make it to graduation. And so here we've got actually the president of our university handing one of our science majors a diploma. But that's a big part of it too. We have talked quite a bit over the years, through various groups and through our literature and such, about the crisis of science and engineering, the STEM subject. Graduates in America, we're not producing enough, and so the undergraduate research is one way that we can look to try to address that. So that kind of gives the background to what David and I and Chris have been thinking as we've been looking at this idea of undergraduate publishing undergraduate research as a teaching tool. Is that we've already shown that the research itself is one of those best practices that we have in the teaching of science. So we thought we'd take a look at research in general and how research is done. If you are a faculty member or a graduate student, somebody who traditionally does research, and what is it that we're trying to achieve in the end? And I suppose you certainly make arguments, the paper itself isn't the goal necessarily, it's the advancement of knowledge. But what we're looking to get is, we do a project, we come up with information, we want to share that information. And the way that we do that is through publishing of what we've done. So when we take an undergraduate research experience, and I will admit, right up front, not every undergraduate research experience is going to be worth publishing. I've been involved in several instances where we have published things. I've been involved in more instances where we haven't gone on and published something because it just, publication-wise, is not there. But for those students who are bright students who've done a really good job, with their project, really, if you're going to bring this research experience full circle, you're going to close that loop, which is one of our, taglines in education today, the publication of that is a part of getting to that point. And so this one here, Soul Horizons runs a student contest every year. This is an undergraduate paper, not a grad paper. They put the wrong tag on it. But when we have projects that are worthwhile, that are worthy of being published, that's something that it seems to us would be an advantage, something beneficial to do with our students. Okay. Some of the reasons that we think that would, you look at it from a little more theoretical perspective, the reasons we think this would be beneficial. As I mentioned, this is a completion of that overall research experience, for those students that have something that's worth going that far with. It's also a training process. I'm sure that all of us can think back to the first time that we published something and went through the peer review process, and probably for a large number of us it was a bit of a shock to get that first review back and see what the reviewers had to say about this thing that we were so proud of when it went off to those reviewers to take a look at. But the peer review process, that's a whole new step in the training of a scientist. And so that's something that we bring in when we do this. Writing and problem solving skills, those peer reviews, you get a good peer review back, and there's a lot of problem solving that happens, after that peer review shows up, and there's a lot of revision of writing that happens in many cases after that review shows up, especially with a young student who's doing this for the first time around. And so that in itself is a major learning experience. And then something that we talked about, have talked about again as a society, as a profession, over recent years, is that it's really important that we make young, up-and-coming scientists feel like they are a part of what's going on. And we make a lot of efforts to that. We've got things like the Young Career Group, and we have sessions for them. We've got a rep on our board now for them. But I remember, the first time after I'd actually gotten through all the other stuff that goes with publication and had that first article that was actually accepted and is going to show up in a journal, and for me, it certainly made me feel like I was more a part of that group. I contributed something, that somebody hopefully someday would look at. And, you know, so, you know, I think this is a part of that, bringing them into, you know, our group and starting to recognize them as peers and make them feel like peers, is to have this kind of stuff taking place. We have a number of outlets. I've got a personal bias towards Soul Horizons with undergraduates. So it's reviews tend to be, we do reviews, we require modifications and things to the papers, but it's maybe a little more gentle than some of the other possibilities. And let's be frank, there's a number of cases where the undergraduate are not going to produce something that's worth going into some of the higher end journals. Every now and then it happens, but it's a nice place that we have that we can bring them in and let them get that experience and provide something. They got a project that had some neat results, worth communicating, but it's not going to go into one of those top end places. It's a nice place to go to, and if they're for this group here, if they're doing soils work, it's a soil specific outlet as opposed to some of the others. There are other journals as well that are very much focused on undergraduate publication of undergraduate research, and they provide that opportunity for students that want to pursue it with those journals. I admit I don't have any experience with those, but back to my bias with Horizons, when I've got students who have a suitable project. But the outlets are there, the opportunities to do this with these undergraduates, they are available to us, so it's not an unachievable kind of thing. So certainly as I thought about it, and I've been working with undergraduates, publishing with undergraduates for over a decade now, with various projects, and it seemed to me that those undergraduates, when we went through this process, that they got something out of it. That was my impression. But I thought, okay, I'm going to go back. I'm going to get in touch with some of these students that we've published with in years past. I'm going to ask them, did they think they got anything out of it? If you had to describe your undergraduate research experience, what would you say about it? Was it worthwhile? Was it a waste of your time? What are your impressions as to that? And so I've got a few slides here, about four slides, that have some statements that I got from various students. And these students range from students who graduated about 2 years ago to students who graduated over a decade ago. And so have actually spent time out in the working world and have had a chance to really think about whether or not this applies, or to give some consideration to whether it applies to what they do now as a living. So none of these statements come from students actually who are in academia. They're all working in the field somewhere, consulting or working for government agencies or things of that nature, but they're not academics. And so was it worthwhile to them? And you can see here, this is comes from a young man who now works for one of our government agencies in North Dakota. And he talks about things like having to wrestle his way through that review process. There's the problem solving aspect to this. He talks about trying to apply what he had been learning in school to solving some kind of a real world problem. That's stuff they need to do in the working world. This young man right here, I guess he's probably not quite so young anymore. This is one of the ones, he's over a decade out of school now, owns his own consulting company at this point in time. And he told me, I don't do research. I'm never going to publish a paper again. But I actually use this stuff. The things the skills that this publication process helped to hone, as a consultant, I use it. I've got to write things up for clients. I've got to problem solve for clients. One of the things I remember that he said, in particular, and I think if you read through all this, I mean, I'm not going to read them for you guys since you can read, but I believe what's up in here somewhere, if you find it, is he talks about the publication process really driving home for him the idea of really having to rely on your data and interpret very much your data and provide that interpretation, which he can utilize in his world now as a consultant. Another statement, same kinds of things really do kind of show up in here. I think this is here it talks about being a huge personal achievement in that second line. And that's one of the things also that seems to be kind of a common theme with these students. There's a sense of real accomplishment that goes into getting finished with this. And that in and of itself, I think, is certainly a worthwhile thing. The lady who wrote this one here, again, out of school for several years now, she is working for, she does GIS work now, which her project was very GIS based, applied to soils issues. But where she told me as we were discussing things that she's actually applying for some kind of a professional certification right now in the GIS world. And the fact that she has this paper, it counts for points towards that certification. And so there is a very real, very direct benefit to her as a professional out of having done that. Again, even though she's not in the academic world, she's not counting up publications for a 10-year promotion or something like that. So we see some very definite trends as we talk to our students. There's a real sense of pride in having gone through and done this. They've got they've had to integrate a lot of different things that they learned, and not just in the sciences, writing, data analysis, which certainly is a scientific endeavor, but you have the mathematical, statistical, ends of things in there, along with the field-specific knowledge. So there's lots of integration, and in many cases, they're coming back and saying, okay, I've got several years of perspective on this now, and I do actually use this, even in my day-to-day working life. It's an important thing. So, to this point in time, we've really based this idea of using publication of undergraduate research as a pedagogic tool on kind of the theory, this idea that, if you follow the theory through, it should hold up and it should be a worthwhile thing to do. So now we're going to come to you guys and say that we're actually working right now on developing a survey. We'd like to do a little bit more of a scientific investigation of this, start surveying some students around the country who have been involved in the publication of undergraduate research and get some more quantitative looks at this. So we're going to be asking for help from people like you. If you know students who have been through this and are willing to help put us in contact with them, that would be a great thing. You can certainly get a hold of myself. First email there, David Linbo, sitting in the back of the room there. A lot of you know him as well. We would be thrilled to work with you to try to advance this, the next step. Okay, and then do we have time for any questions? Yes. A lot of these papers have been done actually after they've left, they've gotten their degree and gone on. And in some cases, you can convince them to take the time to do it. In some cases, you can't. But when you can, that's when these are not very few of these have been published before they've left. I think I've got one student who we've gotten a paper with before he actually was finished with his degree. Most of these are following up in the months after they finish. David.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.